watching some videos, and the McCameys were on, and they were singing that song. And Peg McCamey, you know, she likes to talk a lot, but she said something I've never thought about in, right before they sang that song. And I think I sent it to some of you through Messenger. And she was talking about Mary and Martha. Their brother's dead. They're heartbroken and stuff. She said, I wonder if Martha just thought about this. She said, I wonder if she thought about, you know, how many times I cooked for that man. How many times I did things for him, and he won't even come to my brother's funeral. And I thought, you know, that might have went through her head. Here, Jesus was a friend of theirs, they thought. Their brother passes away, and Jesus don't even show up for the funeral. I wonder what was going through their head. I wonder what they was thinking. She said Mary was probably just over in the corner somewhere crying, because that's what she did. But after they put him in the grave and they walked away, Jesus finally shows up. And you know the story when they went running out there. They said, Lord, had you been here, I wonder if they said that kind of sarcastically. I wonder if they said that kind of mean. I tend to believe that they probably did. Lord, had you been here, if you'd have bothered to even show up, Lazarus would have lived. And Jesus said this, where have you laid him? I made the statement here a couple weeks ago. I wonder why he asked that question. I believe I might have got an answer tonight. Because Jesus wanted to find out and remind them and take them back to the place where they lost their faith in him. Amen. It was probably at the graveside. He says, where have you laid him? And here again, they say, Lord, it's too late. He stinks by now. Jesus walks up to the graveside and he calls Lazarus out. And all of a sudden, there stands Lazarus. And the Bible says that he told the grave clothes, loose him and let him go. I want you to know it's never too late for God. Whatever the circumstance is, whatever the situation is, it's never too late for my God. And I say that to say this to Marcy and them. God might have took you back tonight to where you were struggling in faith. Amen. I'm not saying that's the reason. But he might have wanted to see how much faith you really have in him. And church, let me say something to you. All of us struggle with faith. Every one of us do. And sometimes God has got to remind us. Amen. Aren't you glad that God will take care of you? And aren't you glad that no matter what you're facing, no matter what the circumstance is, the situation is, God says, it's not too big for me. Amen. If he can raise the dead, he can take care of my problems. I just got to trust in him. Amen? I just got to trust in him. All right, I believe that's enough singing for tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Yesterday, I didn't get to work yesterday. No, Monday. I didn't work Monday. And I went and picked up Aiden's go-kart and took it to him and took some lawnmowers down here to Jerry and did some errands and stuff that I had to do. And as I was there at the house, I had the trailer backed up in the driveway, connected to the truck, and going to put the lawnmowers up on the trailer, and there's a man walking down the road. And he stopped me, asked me, he said, "Can I speak to you for a second?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "I'm going to ask you about your truck." And I said, "All right." So I told him a little bit about it. And he said, "Well, my daughter is in the market for a truck. She's wanting to pull a horse trailer." He said, "And I've never bought one." He said, "And I don't know anything about them. I just wanted to find out some information." So I told him about it, and we talked for just a little while. And I told him, I said, "Well, I'm a painter by trade, and I'm a pastor of a church." So we talked about painting for just a second. And before he left, I asked him the question. I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "Oh, I'm not religious." I said, "Well, that's good. I'm not either." And he said, "Well, you said you was a pastor." I said, "I'm not religious. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm saved by God's amazing grace." Religion, and this is what I told him. I said, "Religion ain't going to do nothing but take you to hell. That's all it's going to do. You can go and join the Baptist church, Methodist church, Church of God, apostolic, whim walk. I don't care. And if that's all you do, you'll die and go to hell." I said, "I'm saved by God's amazing grace." I said, "Let me invite you to church." He said, "Well, I'll think about it." So we stood out there and talked for just a minute, and I didn't want to force anything on him or push anything on him. Didn't want to drive him away. I told Rodney, and then yesterday I was talking to Rodney. I told Rodney, I said, "The seed's been planted. God just tells us to plant the seed. That's all we can do." I said, "The seed's been planted, so hopefully he'll show up to church." Now, he lives right down the street from me, so I'm going to go down and see him and remind him about the conversation we had. Now, I'm going to talk to him a little bit more. But I want you to know something, church. Listen, there's always an opportunity to tell somebody about God. Amen. Yesterday, Rodney told me this. He said, "You know, when you start talking about church, it just opens the door to talk about God." I said, "Sure it does." So in talking about that and thinking about him last night, Brother Justin, when I was praying, I always pray and I say, "God, save those that are not saved." Well, that man came to my mind last night when I was praying right before I went to bed. And I said, "God, please, I believe we're living in the last days. God, please show him his need and save him before it's too late." And then the man that stood out here that night and said he was going to die and go to hell and he wasn't scared of it, he came to my mind. God, please save him before it's everlasting too late. And then I'm going to be honest with you. I thought about some people here at the church that I kind of wonder about sometimes because they only have a desire to show up every now and again, but they say that they're saved. And I said, "God, please show them before it's everlasting too late." And you may think this is crazy, but I do this. God, if my wife ain't saved, please show her. God, if my mom and dad's not saved, please show them. God, if my sisters and my brothers are not saved, please show them. God, if my grandkids are not saved, please show them. God, if my church members are not saved, please show them. Y'all may think that's crazy, but see, the only one I can tell you about is me. And it's so real and it's so serious that we need to pray for everybody. So tonight, I want to read you some scripture here in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And in that day Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedest me. Behold, God is, underline this in your Bible, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become, and underline this again, my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on this word salvation. Now we all know that salvation will take you places. Amen. Salvation will move you. Salvation will do something in your life that nothing else can do. Amen. I noticed these, and I was doing a little bit of studying and stuff, and I run across these in a message that a man wrote. It said, salvation brought Israel out of bondage. Salvation brought Jonah out of the whale. Salvation brought David out of a pit. Salvation brought Paul out of his lost condition. And salvation brings every sinner out of darkness. I thought, man, that's so true. Salvation will do things and it'll move you in ways that nobody can really understand. Unless you have, I told Jonathan the other day, we was working and we was talking about it. And I said, I believe that's the reason that the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I cannot get saved, Brother Justin. I cannot do something for somebody else. I can tell them about it, but they have to work out their own salvation. And when they work it out, it'll do something that you cannot do. Amen. Number one tonight, and this is not the message, but I thought about these. Salvation will make you happy. Amen. Before I got saved, I remember I had a weight of the world on me, and salvation, when I got saved, it made me happy. Amen. I went and told people about it. I went and witnessed to people about it. It done something. It changed me and made me happy. Not only did it make me happy, but it made me want to tell somebody. When I got saved, I wanted to tell people. I told y'all the story about the guy at Pilot. I used to deliver newspapers. And I went that morning to pick up my newspapers on Monday morning after I got saved on Sunday. I went early Monday morning, Brother Rodney, and the devil was already starting to work. I was happy. I was excited. I was telling people. I went in there, got my newspapers, went over to Pilate to get me something to drink, walked in there, and the guy behind the counter and stuff, we talked every day. And I don't remember his name right offhand, but I told him, I said, I want to tell you something. He said, what is it? I said, yesterday at church, I said, God save me. You know, the first thing out of his mouth, I'll be watching you. The devil's already working, amen. But it didn't deter me. It didn't stop me. I went and told somebody else that I got saved. Salvation made me want to tell people about the goodness of God and what God will do. Salvation made me happy and it made me want to tell somebody. But not only that though, salvation made me excited. Do you remember when you got saved? You remember when God changed you? You went down and stuff and you was broken. You was defeated. You was beat down. You didn't know what else to do. You was worried about dying and going to hell. But God reached down and saved you. And when you got up, you was excited. You no longer are going to hell. You're on your way to heaven. Now you're a child of God. It made me excited. Amen. That's what salvation will do. But let me give you four things tonight on where salvation is going to take you. Number one tonight, write this down. Salvation will take you into holiness. Amen. Salvation will alter your life. Hey man, I want to say this. If you come down to the altar or you got wherever it was and you knelt down to pray and you asked God to save you and it didn't change you, it didn't change your direction, it didn't change your attitude, it didn't change your mouth, it didn't change anything else, you're still lost on your way to hell. Hey, but I want you to know, when I got saved, thank God, God put the Holy Ghost, well, praise God, He put the Holy Ghost of God down inside of me, and it made me whole. Amen. Amen. Salvation will take you to holiness. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Thank God I don't talk like I used to. Thank God I don't dance at the bar like I used to. Thank God I'm not running up and down the street like I used to. Thank God I'm not on drugs. Thank God I'm not the drunk. Thank God I'm not doing those things. What are you doing? I'm in the house of God. Hallelujah, thank God. Praising the Lord and worshiping God. Aren't you glad for salvation? Amen. Amen. Salvation will change you. Amen. It'll make you want to shout. Amen. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll give you a desire. I say it'll give you a desire to go to the house of God. Amen. Salvation will take you into holiness. Amen. It'll alter your life. No man, nobody can receive Jesus and remain the same. Amen. 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 Nobody can receive Jesus and remain the same. It'll take you to holiness. One mark of true repentance unto salvation. If you need to know whether you really got saved or not, there's one way you can tell you got saved. Did something in your life change the day you got saved? Amen. Oh, I'm glad salvation will take you into holiness. But not only that, though, salvation will take you into the harvest. Amen. Jesus has never called us to be lazy. He's called us to do His work. He's called us to go out and share the gospel. He's called us to go. The Bible says, look upon the fields. They're white and ready to harvest. The workers are few. What the Bible says. Amen. Hey, but I want you to know something. When God saved me, He gave me a desire to see somebody else come to the knowledge of Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Go out into the harvest. When we were young, Daddy always put out a big garden. And I mean, it probably as big as this building, wasn't it, Robin? And we'd have to come home after school, and we'd have to go out there and pull weeds out of that garden. I hated that. I thought, Daddy put it out, let Daddy work it. But you know what? I was eating out of that garden. Some of y'all get that here in a little while. Amen. And to work in the garden and eat after that, boy, it sure did fill me up. Some of y'all hang on right here. Hey, I want you to know working in the garden for God is just as good. Why? Because you get to eat out of it. Honey, I want you to know something. I'm glad. It makes me excited when I preach a message or when I'm doing something or I tell somebody about God and God does a work. It makes me excited to see the harvest. Amen. God said, my word will not return void. Amen. Oh, it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But harvest time's coming. Amen. Harvest time's coming. And Brother Louis, I've been there for a few times where I got to deal with somebody and I got to tell them about God. Hey, listen, there's coming a day I'm going to get a crown, and that's the harvest time. Amen. But I want you to know something. Listen, I ain't going to put it on my head and march around. I'm not going to be the one up there saying, look at me, look what I did. No. I'm going to give it back to Him and crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm looking for that day. Harvest time is coming. Yes, amen. Amen. Salvation will take you into holiness. It'll take you into harvest. Amen. But not only that, though, salvation will take you to the house of God. Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me. He was just talking about it. He wasn't even on his way yet, but it made him happy, Justin, to know somebody. Praise God, I'm about to run right now. Amen. Aren't you glad? Do you look forward to coming to God's house? Do you look forward to Sunday morning? Do you look forward to Sunday night? Do you look forward to Wednesday night? Aren't you glad? Don't it excite you when you get to go into God's house and worship God? Hey, man, I'm glad I get to go to God's house. Amen. Jonathan, the other day, he wanted to go to the ball game last week, Mississippi State. So I have a friend of mine that works over there, and I called her. And I said, do you have any tickets? And she said, yeah, I can get you some. So she got me some tickets, and I gave them to Jonathan. And they were excited about going. And they went over there, and they had a good time and hooped and hollered and did all that stuff. But they were excited about it. Well, I want you to know something. On October the 3rd, 1993, I got a ticket. And I've been going back to the house of God ever since then. And when I get to go, I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I don't ever sit back and go, man, I don't want to be here. I don't want to go. No, Brother Justin, I miss it when I'm out. I like going to God's house. I like seeing God's people. I like hearing God's message. I like hearing God's songs. I just like everything about the house of God. And I'm excited when I get to go. Amen. Salvation will bring you to the house of God. Amen. But last of all, and I think the one that I'm most excited about, it'll bring you to holiness, it'll bring you to the harvest, it'll bring you to the house of God. Not only that, though, it's going to take me to heaven. Amen. Salvation. I'm not going on my merit. I'm not going because I got a little bit of money. I'm not going based on giving money to the offering. I'm not going based on I'm a member of a church. I'm not going based on how good I am. I'm not going based on what I do for the church. I'm not going based on what I do out there. I'm going based solely on salvation. Well, praise God. I'm going solely by being saved, washed in the blood. I'm going to heaven through salvation. Amen. And it's only through salvation. Amen. I'm excited about being saved. Amen. That's what salvation will do for you. I told that man yesterday, I said, religion is going to take you to hell. I'm saved. Amen. I'm saved. He don't understand it yet, but I'm praying that God gives him the knowledge. I'm praying that God touches him and God saves him. Whether it be me going down and talking to him or whether he's just sitting alone and he's going, you know, what he was telling me, let me do a little bit of research on that. Let me do just a little bit of thinking on that. See, God don't need us to save somebody. Amen? God don't need us. God can just touch somebody and save them. And I'm praying that either I get to, or somehow he gets saved. And when I get down there, he tells me, because of what you said, I'm going to heaven. People got this wrong idea on how they can get to heaven. Amen. One, two, three, repeat after me. Join a church. Somebody even told me one time, I said, you say this, so I've been baptized. I don't care about that. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you if you was baptized. I asked you, are you saved? Amen. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Salvation will take you places. It'll do things in your life. Father, I thank you again for another night. Thank you, God, for your blessings. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, Lord, for saving my soul. God, I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you saw fit one day to reach down and touch this old boy and save him. God, I pray tonight, Lord, for each and every one that's here. Search the hearts. Lord, if there is one here tonight, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd save him. Lord, I pray for that man. God, save him. I pray for my family, my friends, my church. Lord, I just pray for all of them, God. Save them before it's everlasting too late. Lead us and guide us. We'll give you praise. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder tonight somebody say, preacher, pray for me. Any reason.